So they stayed there. Who do you think stayed with? So they stayed there with the cows and the donkeys and the horses. That was some crowd. The donkeys, the cows, and the horses. Can you imagine that? Baby Jesus and all the animals in the area. And there,
We continue our service tonight with the story of the wise men. But before doing so, just want to remind you, I'm not sure if the children's story went through, and so in case if it didn't, check it out on the webpage, and you'll see it posted there, and you can enjoy the Christmas story there. Let's continue with the wise men visiting the king. Okay, good. After Jesus was born, this is in the second chapter of Matthew's gospel. So if you'll turn with me, we'll look at the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King David, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the one born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what is written by the prophet Micah." And so if you want to go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, you will see this prophecy. And it went like this: "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Now, this is a very, very familiar story to us. It's a story that we know well. We know about the gifts of gold, representing purity and deity. And frankincense, that sweet fragrance that's often associated with Jesus' life. And myrrh, Jesus' sacrifice and death. You see, all of these gifts represent the life and the ministry of Jesus. The Magi's were believed to be scholars who studied the stars. These men were Gentiles who were searching for the Christ. And they even followed the prophecy of the Jewish scripture, Micah 5:2, which indicated that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Did you know, or do you know what the word Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. House of bread. And that is where the bread of life, Jesus, would be born. But ultimately, when we think of this story, it begs us to take stock of who we are and what we really believe. And I want us to consider something very seriously. Are we more like Herod, or are we more like the wise men when it comes to Jesus? Are you and I fearful or threatened by the baby Jesus' birth? Or are we celebrating? Did Herod see the baby's birth as a potential future competition? The wise men were given a sign, a star, which led them to the baby Jesus. When we feel prompted to do something, do we take time to consider that God might be trying to speak to us? And do we act on it? Or do we dismiss it as nothing, some crazy feeling? Do we see Jesus as our Messiah? Or are we willing to bow down to him and serve him with the gifts that God has given us, like teaching and ministering and hospitality, financial support, being a prayer warrior? Do we use those gifts that God has given us to serve him? Or is life all about us? I want what I want when I want it. and I am the ultimate authority. Anything I have comes from my own accomplishments. Is Jesus the Lord of my life, or am I the Lord of my life? Does the Christmas star lead us to Jesus or to the glorification of ourselves? Is the Christmas story just a story, a children's story, a myth? Or is it the gospel truth? God sent His only begotten Son, and we as believers are ambassadors of light. He sent His own Son to forgive our sins and to receive the gift of eternal life. Is our world characterized by the darkness brought about by sin and evil, or has it been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Christ? And we as believers are ambassadors of light, just as Jesus was the light of the world. Does Jesus' birth spark fear, or is His birth a message? A message of joy to the world. You see, this Christmas, may we be thankful for all the gifts and blessings that God has provided. We have hope. We have seen the light of the world. We know the Good Shepherd. We have tasted the living water. We know about God's unconditional love. We know about forgiveness and going forward. May we love God and our neighbor. As we celebrate the birth of Christ, we know that everything in our lives will be okay. We are learning to count everything as joy. Yes, indeed. Even in our current COVID environment, we can indeed still wish each other a Merry Christmas and rejoice in the fact that our Savior has been born. Hallelujah. And so tonight, we have our last candle, the Christ candle. Advent hope has moved us. Advent love leads us. Advent joy stirs us. Advent peace calms us. But God's unconditional love conquers chaos and uncertainty. In the lighting of this candle, we affirm the following. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. He is the long-awaited Messiah whose coming was prophesied. And so is His return. The same Jesus lives today in our hearts. He deserves our highest loyalty and total commitment. In Jesus Christ, our hope is fulfilled. Our love is consummated. Our joy is complete. And our peace is sealed. May we rejoice because a Savior is born. And oh, what a Savior He is. Joy to the world. That birth changed the world. But it changed the world in a very particular way. It changed the world when Jesus went to the cross, where he died for our sins, and then he rose from the dead. So at this point, may we take time to share in the Lord's Supper. And so if you have some bread and juice that you can share at this point, may we take time to share the Lord's Supper. This is something that Paul shared with us early on as a practice that the church did when they would come together. And going back to that last Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples, may we share in that supper. And so on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. So take your bread. And he gave thanks. And he broke it. Tear it in two. He broke it and he said this: "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat. And after the supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Take the cup and drink. Paul reminds us that as often as we celebrate this Lord's Supper, and particularly as we celebrate it tonight on Christmas Eve, that as often as we eat this bread and take this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, Advent leads to the cross, the resurrection, and our commissioning to share and spread the gospel until that second advent when Jesus returns. May we continue to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, whose unconditional love, grace, and mercy continues to change the world. Now, according to tradition, there was also a song that was sung after the meal. And tonight we will prepare, as we prepare for our closing Christmas carol, allow me to share with you, before we hear the song, the story of Stille Nacht. You're asking, what in the world is he talking about? Stille Nacht. The story of Silent Night. You see, it goes back to a broken organ in Oberndorf, Austria, a church near Salzburg. In 1918, a roving band of actors had been performing in towns throughout the Austrian Alps. And on December 23rd, they arrived in Oberndorf, a village near Salzburg, where they were to reenact the story of Jesus' birth in a small church of St. Nicholas. Unfortunately, though, the organ wasn't working, and it couldn't be repaired before Christmas. Tradition says it might have been mice that were the problem. Others say it could have been rust. It's a good chance it was both. But the organ was out of commission, and so the actors provided their performance in a home. And Joseph Moore, who was the assistant pastor, had been at this performance. And it really took him, got him to thinking. And so as he was walking away from home, or walking away from the performance, he took a longer route to get home. And he noticed a hilltop in the snow-covered village. And it really was a majestic scene. It reminded him of the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flock by night. And as he thought about the Christmas play, he thought about a poem that he had written a couple of years earlier. The poem was about the night when the angels announced the birth of the long-awaited Messiah to the shepherds on the hillside. Moore decided that it would make a really good carol for the congregation the next night, Christmas Eve. But there was only one problem. They didn't have any music. There was no music to this poem. So Moore went to the church organist, Franz Gruber. Gruber had only a couple of hours to compose the melody for Silent Night before it was performed that night. There was no organ, and it was performed using a guitar as the accompaniment. Weeks later, an organ builder, Carl Maracher, arrived in Orbendorf to fix the organ. Gruber played the simple melody to Silent Night, and it really touched Mockenrocker. He shared the song, took the music and the song with him, and he shared it with some singing groups. They added it to their repertoire. In 1834, the Strasser family performed Silent Night for King Frederick William of Wilhelm IV of Prussia. He liked it so much that he ordered it to be sung every Christmas Eve. 20 years later, 1854, Silent Night was introduced to the United States. It was sung in German in New York City's Trinity Church. In 1863, it was finally translated into English. And 8 years later, it appeared in Charles Hutchins' Sunday school hymnal. Today, the words Silent Night are sung all over the world in more than 300 different languages. So now, the carol that was written in German on Christmas Eve for an 1818 Christmas Eve service in a small German village is sung in English for the 2020 Christmas Eve service at Berea Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina, which was established in 1855, just 1 year after the song reached American shores. Jessica Matthews, please lead us, if you would, in Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is gone.
Such a beautiful, beautiful song. Silent night, holy night. Thank you so much for joining us for our podcast on this Christmas Eve. As we celebrate the eve of Jesus' birth, may we not lose sight of the fact that we can be blessed by the greatest gift ever given to humanity. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's God's gift of unconditional love, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And in Him we receive the gift of eternal life. May we cherish this precious gift as did Mary, Jesus' mother. Hear these holy words from Mark's and from Luke's gospel. After seeing the baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the shepherds reported the message they were told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. God bless our households this Christmas, and we thank God for His most precious gift to us, His Son Jesus, our Messiah. And all God's people said, Amen and Merry Christmas.